Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, coming to you guys on this Monday after a pretty wild weekend by Pelican standards, I would say. 2-0, a surprising 2-0, after pretty much a blowout win over the Rockets on Friday to the tune of 128-112. But the Pelicans had a 23-point lead in that one, actually, before the Rockets made a little bit nervous, but managed to hold on. And then they go and followed up the Sunday afternoon game against the Timberwolves, where they have to come back, even though they were down at halftime, to win 123-109 in a game they really took control of. Again, Minnesota started to threaten at one point to maybe get back in it, but the Pels pulled away. All of a sudden, the team that was six games out of a playoff spot going into Friday's match is now only just 4.5 back. So pretty good start for the Pelicans to maybe, you know, end this season, get into playoff contention, get back into that talk. And more than that, you know, they blew out the Houston Rockets without DeMarcus Cousins. I'm going to recap that here for you on Locked On Pelicans. And then he got him back and had an overall great team performance against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So you can start to see things coming together around this offense with this team. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they do going forward. A couple of pivotal games coming up. And then they've got this little bit of a road trip that they're going on that's going to be pretty brutal, but a chance for the Pelicans to maybe pull this thing off. So if you had told me on Friday that the Pels would beat the Rockets 128-112 with no DeMarcus Cousins, I'd probably say you had a few too many beers celebrating St. Patrick's Day. But that's exactly what happened. So late scratch before the game said DeMarcus Cousins had gotten an MRI on his left knee, I think. He was had some bruising, a right rib contusion from a shot he took in that Miami game. It was the foul. I forget exactly who it was off the top of my head. Maybe Tyler Johnson, where he got a defensive foul called against him. But the player who he was defending against got a flagrant for going up with his knees to DeMarcus Cousins' chest. So sounded a little bit painful, but no DeMarcus Cousins. You know, you had to figure this was going to be a blowout loss for the Pels, and I pretty much even said with DeMarcus Cousins, this wasn't a good matchup for him, you know, on Friday's podcast. So, of course, what happens? Solomon frickin' Hill happens, and he goes off to the tune of a career-high 30 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, and pretty much just goes nuts, and he gets 30 points on 13 shots. My goodness, the dude was scoring over 2 points per shot attempt. He was 6 of 9 from three. I think he hit 4 threes in the first quarter or the first quarter and a half. Got to the free throw line, was 8 of 9, and just overall had a very aggressive game. And I'm going to come back to him in a minute after I run down kind of some of the players and how they did. Dante Cunningham chipped in with 7 points. Anthony Davis had 24 points and 15 rebounds. Wayne Seldon had his best game as a Pelican. He scored 11. Drew Holiday, 19 points. Tim Frazier had 14 points, each one more with 9. Jordan Crawford finally didn't score in double digits with just 7. Alexei Ajinsa, 7. No one scored less than 7 points this game. Overall, the Pelicans got a team performance, which is something they haven't had. So that's 5 players in double figures with a significant amount more closer to that as well, getting into double digits. So overall, you get a very good team performance, not something the Pelicans have had He shot 53.3% on the night overall. Only 35.3% from three, but that's okay. That's still much higher than they normally do. The Rockets shot worse than that. Shot 41.6% overall. That's certainly going to help you win and blow out a team when they're having just a very off night from the field. You know, James Harden really did his damage, 41 points, got a triple-double. But, you know, he was the real only guy who did, you know, much damage for the Rockets. Yeah, they got points from everywhere else, but they didn't get it. There was no other significant contributor. The rest of their starters, Patrick Beverley, Clint Capella, Ryan Anderson, Trevor Ariza, no one scored in double digits. Their double digit scoring came off the bench with Eric Gordon, Lou Williams, and Montrezl Harrell. And that was really it. They managed to just overall kind of shut them down in a way, and just took them out, let Harden do the work and the damage, and that was it. So something we've always been tracking here since this DeMarcus Cousins trade, which has really sunk the Pels offense, is uncontested shots. And are they making them for the Pels? And they're not making them. But they shot 24 of 47 uncontested makes, or uncontested looks, sorry, on the night. 51.1%. Finally, the Pelicans are starting to hit some shots, and you can see the difference that it's making. You know, maybe it wasn't that they weren't... DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis weren't able to figure it out, though Cousins didn't play in this game, which leads to a lot of narratives, let's say, after the game. But I'm going to talk about that tomorrow or Wednesday on here on Locked On Pelicans. So definitely stay tuned for that. I want to put some of these misconceptions to bed about the Pelicans with Cousins, without Cousins. Do they play better without him? Do they play differently with him or without him? What's going on there? There's a lot of misconceptions, and we're going to put those to rest. But maybe it's just, you know, rather than those two couldn't fit, it was the lack of support. Etuan Moore's woken up. Jordan Crawford has been absurd for the Pelicans since they signed him. This was, again, the worst game he's had, and he scored 7 points off the bench, which is, you know, quite nice for the team. And they finally started hitting their uncontested shots. But the bigger story than that, than anything else here, is going to be that Solomon frickin' Hill absolutely went off. Like I said, 30 points. He was 6 of 9 from 3. Had the team's highest offensive rating in the game, pretty much, for people who are really playing. So he had an overall just tremendous night. A lot of that was due to him being aggressive. Yeah, his shot was falling. The 6 of 9 three-pointers was great. But he still was attacking the rim, working off ball to get open, cutting. He wasn't content to just be a spot-up shooter. And that's what really made the difference. He's, like I said, he had 7 assists. He was looking to get everyone involved. The Pels have been using him kind of in a off-ball, point-forward kind of way for a little while now. He'll get the ball and take it up the court a lot of the time and initiate the offense from the wing position. Which lends credence to the thought that they could run a bit of a triangle offense at times. So, you know, discussion neither here nor there right now. But Alvin Gentry had said that he had been talking with Solomon Hill about being more than just a spot-up shooter. And you saw the aggressiveness against the Houston Rockets on Friday, and it worked. Now, if you want to make the criticism about Cousins not playing and, you know, being better for the team when he's not, that's where you start to look, is maybe his absence allows other Pelicans to get in a different mindset, to be more aggressive, to get out there and try and score, and because they have the ball in their hand more, different things like that. That's where the criticism lies and is fair, not that they're running anything different. But Solomon Hill, you know, this was who Dell Demps paid the money for this offseason and signed, and what they had hoped to see out of him. I don't know what it is with him from mid-March on playing incredibly good and efficient basketball, but it was nice to see that from the Pelicans' big money signing for a guy who's been averaging under 7 points per game to explode for 30, give the fans some hope, especially, you know, in this playoff race, you could call it, though I think the Pels are still not making the playoffs here. Good to see just an overall team performance, a guy stepping up, other guys stepping up. And, you know, the biggest question going into last night's game was, would that carry over? And certainly some things did carry over. So last night, the Pelicans beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 123-109. One big thing that did carry over was playing in transition a little bit more. And now that you have DeMarcus Cousins back, it can be a little bit more difficult. But playing in transition and getting easy baskets, the Pelicans scored 33 transition points, according to the NBA.com scores box score, over the Timberwolves. 33 there. They had 27 against the Houston Rockets. They were pushing the pace. They were playing their style of basketball. It has not changed, really, since DeMarcus Cousins has come to New Orleans. So 60 fast break points between the two games combined for the Pels, getting easy instant offense. For a team that struggled to score all year, that is exactly what you want to see out of this team. But while that carried over, you know, one of the things that I was most interested by and wanted to see was, well, Solomon Hill, after he lit it up, you know, on the 17th, day before his birthday. He and I share a birthday, which was Saturday. So happy birthday to Solomon Hill. Nice performance. He should have a birthday pretty much every day if he's going to keep playing like that. So played another, you know, almost team high in minutes, second most minutes. Scored 13 points. So not quite the 30 he had the game before, but DeMarcus Cousins was also back in the fold for the Pelicans, playing 31 minutes, a little bit over that. So there was going to be less scoring chances for Solomon Hill, of course. But 13 points on 8 shots, so he's got a good ratio there. He hit 2 of his 4 threes, 50%. Got to the free throw line a little bit. Dished out 5 assists, 5 rebounds, just an overall solid night. Don't forget the 3 steals he had as well. So 13 points, that's about what you would like to see out of him on a consistent basis. He's not going to get 30 every night. That's very rarely going to happen. But 13, that's doable. Hitting some corner threes, very doable. So, you know, the Pelicans paid him all of that money, one, to be a defensive stopper, which he's been, but also because he, you know, had a late season boom for the Pacers last year and carried it over into the playoffs and was in great form looking like this type of guy. At this point, 13 points, yeah, it's probably worth about $12.5 million a year for him. It's not pennies, like some people were telling me on Twitter the other day. It's not pennies. It's more than the new mid-level exception, or the room mid-level exception at least. So, but he had a solid night again, and you need to keep seeing this out of him. It's the games where he has 3 points, 2 points, 4 points. That kills the Pels. Giving up 9 points and leaving them on the, not leaving them on the court, but not scoring them is big. All of a sudden, Solomon Hill scores 13 in this game. Anthony Davis with 28. DeMarcus Cousins with 15. Jrue Holiday with 21. Etuan Moore with 14. And then Jordan Instant Grits Crawford off the bench scoring 22. 6 guys in double figures. If the Pelicans keep getting this kind of production, they're going to win games. And I've said it here on the podcast, was if they could get any kind of shooting and any kind of help for guys outside of Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, and you could get a decent night out of Jrue Holiday, they were going to win some games. Well, now they've won 4 out of their last 5. Shooting, again, was pretty hot for the Pelicans. They shot 55.1% overall. They were 46.7% from 3. You know, Minnesota also shot pretty well, 51.8%. Overall, Carl Anthony Towns finally outscored Anthony Davis in a matchup, but Davis won. Game was the Pelicans. I think it's Towns has never beaten Davis yet head-to-head in their career in the NBA, which is kind of a nice little thing to see. He did the work for the Timberwolves. Andrew Wiggins chipped in 25 points as well. Shabazz Muhammad with 20 off the bench. That's pretty much it. Those were the only guys who really did any damage. You know, Ricky Rubio chipped in 10 points. He had a nice number of 14 assists, but just 10. No one else in double figures. This is what happens when guys aren't getting in double figures or scoring a lot. You have trouble winning when it's, you know, very top-heavy roster, and that's something the Pelicans have been doing or had. So all of a sudden, they shoot 53.1% on uncontested makes. They were 26 of 49, so over 50%. And you can start to see this offense coming alive when guys are just making their shots. Make or miss league at times, and for the Pelicans, right after the trade, it had been miss. But then you can start to see it now, regressing to the mean. Maybe they just needed a few other guys to step up. Not that Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins can't play, or they lost the trade, or what have you. Measure it right now by winning and are things working. And again, you can see the connection with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins taking shape. And that's, you saw it. It was another, you know, lobbed score to Anthony Davis from Cousins. Not quite from the three-point line. This time it was from the elbow where he just got him a nice little pass that got him an assist that Davis went up and shot it with. No massive dunk. But you can see these two guys coming together. It was going to take some time to figure out the spacing. And the spacing on the court right now looks about a million times better because you actually have to defend guys on the perimeter. Not only do you have to defend them, but you're worried about them driving and scoring in the case of Solomon Hill, in the case of Etuan Moore, and in the case of Jordan Michael Instant Grits, Jordan Crawford, whatever we're going to call him right now. He's got like a long nickname because of everything. But overall, you're getting some help from these guys. You're starting to see how scary this offense could be. And it's coming together at the right time. You know, it was going to take a number of games for it to gel, but again, 4 out of 5 now, 2 in a row. Playing like they want to play, which is still fast, which they feel they can do with DeMarcus Cousins. You know, like I said, 60 fast break points over these past 2 games. It's working. So let's see if it continues to work. You know, you've got a tough, stiff test coming up in Memphis tomorrow. Should be a fun one. So we'll see if they keep it going. But in a game where you might actually have to slow it down and grind it out because of Memphis, you at least have these bigs in Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Enjoy the 2 wins over the weekend. Nice to see the Pels get back into playoff contention just a little bit. But the big win over the Rockets without Cousins, then a big win over Minnesota with Cousins, playing the style of ball they want to play. You know, we're going to find out what happens going forward. So the rest of this week, I'm going to have a guest hopefully for you guys tomorrow to talk about this team. I want to talk about the fit with DeMarcus Cousins. Now that we've seen a handful of games, there's a lot of narratives of the Pelicans being better without him. Don't think that's true whatsoever. And I'll explain why. We're going to dive into the pace numbers. Are they faster with him on the court or off the court? You know, let's look at this. Is the style of basketball they're playing really different and they can't play how they want with him? You know, I want to dive into all of these things and really kind of maybe hope to help set the record straight here a little bit, because I do think there are a number of misconceptions out there. So it should be a fun week here on Locked On Pelicans. Pel's hitting their final stretch run. So thank you all for listening, and I'll be back with you guys tomorrow.